escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is live, man, and God bless that young lady's father. It is live.
So. Somehow went there in the crosstalk, boys. It's happened earlier in the show, man.
It does, yeah. Like, listen, Tyler's not the only one that can be nasty, but, I mean, I'm just telling you, it is.
I'm just sexual, man.
Yeah, I know.
Not necessarily nasty.
I'm dreading it, man. There's just sometimes you can, when you see excitement, and you, as a man, and as someone who's in a couple, you see how it's going down. You know that father, man. I told you, man. My wife's uncle. Somebody told him during the garter portion of the events and the reception. Told him, he said, "Hey, man. Hey, Poncho, you want to go to the back here, man. You don't want to watch this."
Sat to the bar, pops.
Yeah, you don't want to watch this portion of it. You don't want to watch.
You went in there and got that thing with your teeth, didn't you?
I did. Set her down on that chair at that Justin Timberlake. Let me set the mood right going.
The showman.
I went right up that sucker.
Someone it's said, my favorite position to watch.
And Poncho's his nickname. Uncle Poncho said, "Hey, man, you don't want to watch this. why don't you go to the bar? That's a good idea." But I'm just saying, man.
It will not be a good night.
But congratulations to him, man. He got on and did his thing. Showed out pretty well. He got stuck with that bad number. I know 47 is not where he would have wanted to go as a center fielder. He looks like he has got a little bit more flair than 47. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, jump in. Who's the best number 47 you can think of? Who is a number 47 in any sport? Is there a good 47? That is a tough number.
I got to believe there's an old footballer safety that wore it that really did it justice.
I want to look at who is the best number 47.
I ain't got one of them.
I can't even think of anybody who wore number 47.
I can only think of one, and it's because it was part of his nickname, the number 47.
Who? AK?
Andre Corlinko.
Yeah, AK-47. That's good. You're right. Clint Mel Blunt. The Steelers, Hall of Famer. Safety. There it is. Number 47.
John Lynch?
Good that's one. A good one. That's
really
a
good.
Real, so
oh.
You're right. That's two. Like, Mel was a corner. He was a corner.
Was he a corner?
Yeah, but John was a. Was that John off the top of your head? I had to
was
look.
Was Mel like an undrafted free agent that went play with five teams before he made it? Or did he choose 47?
Yeah, I don't know.
Corner wearing 47?
With the Steelers in the 70s. I don't know. He may be somebody to just give you. Here's a bad taste one for Houston. Howie Kendrick. Somebody chimed in with that.
I still believe Mel just came up to Hardway and didn't have a choice to pick a number at corner 47. Even if you don't care, that ain't it. Good
or
God.
Maybe Glenn, he got up there and just was happy to get a number.
Yeah, that's it. That's like when I got there. What, five's available? Sure, I'll take it.
Five's not 47, man.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I just, hey, man,
what's the bad quarterback number you got to walk away from?
Probably the one I ended up doing the most work in, 14.
That's not a bad one.
14. Well, I mean, I was always,
I would say 19.
11 was clean, 12 was clean. I wore them all.
I would say 19, but then there is, Joe Montana slid into that 19 when he went to Kansas City.
Was Johnny Unitas 19?
Was Johnny Unitas 19? He might have been. Scott Mitchell was, for some reason, that 19 comes to my mind with the Lions.
Peyton was 18,
yeah.
Philip Rivers was 17, right?
Ocho, how can you forget Andre Kirilenko? Hell, easy. Andre Kirilenko is an easy one to forget. Shoot. All right, it is a Tuesday. It is a Will Kunkel Tuesday, so the big Kunk will be with us.
I'll be damned.
The big Kunk! There he is. He's going to be
with us. When's he coming in?
He's coming in for an hour. He'll start with his next segment. I'm betting Will is listening right now. He's probably got 47s all in his mind. I mean, Will probably has an obscure one. And then I bet he'll want to jump in on this conversation that I kind of want to start us into, because Clint, for years, Guy Jean is the one who really comes to mind on YouTube, who really has some issues at time with your assessment, thinking that a big next step for CJ Stroud is the leadership portion. And that, as you've said, you is maybe the biggest thing outside of the offensive line for you on this offense, maybe even on the team, but at least on this offense, is the growth factor of CJ Stroud as a leader.
It should be the biggest really on any list, because you're talking about a guy you're fixing to commit 60 plus million to a year and you know, for another, he's going to be your guy for another 5 or 6 years, if not longer. I mean, so it should be the tops of every list out there of like, hey, if this happens, it's the best for the organization as a whole. Right now, if the offensive line was worth the damn, it would help. I mean, I get that point. But, like, the bigger picture for this organization and for all Texans fans long term is, if C.J. Stroud becomes a guy that is the identity of the offense, and it doesn't matter what's going on around him, he's going to take control of it. That is ultimately the best place any team can be in as it pertains to their quarterback. I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Guy Jean's probably not a very coachable fellow.
When leadership
conversations get under people's skin, typically those are the people that aren't very coachable and aren't able to follow. Typically,
typically unable.
Anybody that minimizes the importance of leadership is that's interesting to me. But go ahead. I mean, Guy Jean, I love you, but damn.
Well, I think he's not alone. There have been other people when we had these conversations.
There's more Guy Jeans than not.
That have had issues with your assessment, your thought on that. And I'll be with us, because I've agreed. But like you, I believe you said it last week. I think we were talking to Brandon. We were like, I just can't believe, or maybe it was Will, I can't believe nobody's just lost it. Or nobody is, like, it just seems like a lot of people, and maybe starts with the top, on the offense of CJ and others, just accepting some of just the poor decision making or the bad things that were happening with the offense that seems to at times start to develop habits, which become bad habits. And I think you've tried to express that. I think Joe Burrow, another top quarterback in this league, maybe this is an example of exactly what you're talking about. All right, the second season that they're going to do the quarterback, Netflix did, if you remember, they did it a couple of seasons ago with Kirk Cousins, Mahomes. I think Marcus Mariota was on it, and somebody else better than him was on it. But they did the quarterback series. They're doing it again, and Joe Burrow is probably the highlight player on that one. And this is started to go around as an excerpt from the new season of the quarterback, and this is, I would say, the best way to describe when I heard it, what Clint is trying to convey to people on where he believes the next step has to be for C.J. Stroud.
The penalty train rolls on.
Oh, what the f*** are we doing, man? Wake the f*** up! F***ing mental mistakes all f***ing day!
Way to finish the day. That's a great drive to finish it. I know it's a frustrating, embarrassing performance by us.
I know, we'll address it. We'll address it, but at the same time, let's enjoy some
f***ing wins again. Fuck that. We sucked today. That was embarrassing. Okay. We jumped off sides eight times.
This is...
He let it fly, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And Zach Taylor, a guy spells Zach with three letters. Zach Taylor came over and tried to pull the, hey, man, it's calm down. This is a game they won by double digits, I believe, against the sorry-ass Titans. He was having none of it from the head coach to try to reel it in. No, we jumped off sides eight times. And I can hear how Joe may have reacted to the Minnesota game and a couple of other games where they had issues with protection, they had issues with penalties. But when I heard that, I felt like that was kind of the route you're talking about, that has to come about at some point when things are just going downhill.
It ain't no kind of to it, Ronnie. It's exactly what I'm talking about, right? Because here's the best part of that is when the head coach, who happens to be the play caller, so the main communicator with the quarterback in this instance, right? When that guy comes over, and the quarterback, being Joe Burrow, if he sits there and goes, yeah, you're right, I'll calm down. We did some good stuff. Yeah, you're right. Then the coach goes to the locker room. Hey, guys, we won. Let's focus on that we won. And then everybody comes to practice Monday, and it's just happy-go-lucky, and it's acting like what that performance right there, eight penalties, eight false starts or whatever it was, isn't going to get your ass kicked in the division they play in, absolutely going to get their ass kicked, but definitely where Joe Burrow expects to take that football team, right? But because Joe Burrow says, no, boss, that is unacceptable, that's embarrassing, and makes his point, sure, cussing and maybe overdoing it, but that is, at the end of the day, that offense is not going to go as Zach Taylor, the offensive play caller, is going to allow it to go. That offense is going to go the direction of Joe Burrow. It doesn't matter if Zach Taylor, now obviously this is the head coach we're talking about, but if we're talking about play callers, and if we're bringing it back to Houston, we're talking about play callers, like this offense needs to go the way of C.J. Stroud. This offense doesn't need to go the way of Nick Caley. Like Nick Caley doesn't need to dictate what is said in meetings in terms of like this kind of stuff. When there's poor play, like C.J. Stroud needs to make sure that every coach around him understands, like, no, that's unacceptable. We're not going to go to the post-game presser. We're not going to go to the team meeting. We're not going to go into Monday and Tuesday's meetings with this, oh, we got us a win, boys. We got us a win, because that is
both. It's hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah, it's hard to win in this NFL. It's hard to win the division around here. Like, at some point in time, and I've said this a million times, at some point in time, the Houston Texans offense, in terms of standards being set, in terms of guys being held accountable, in terms of the brand of football that is going to be Houston Texans offensive football, that needs to come from C.J. Stroud. If you're going to pay that guy $60 million a year, that needs to be C.J. Stroud. That doesn't need to be, well, Nick Caley does or doesn't have the ability to talk that way, and he is or he isn't an alpha, or he is or he isn't a great play caller, or he has the ability to hold somebody accountable or not. No, C.J. Stroud needs to be that guy. And that is exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
Why are you so hell-bent on that he needs to be that guy, and that not come from another place?
Well, because, I mean, whether you like it or not, the quarterback is the one that's standing up speaking. He's the one that's talking to the media. He's the one that's talking to the team. He's the one that garners the respect just for the position that he plays. And he's the one that can carry the biggest stick from a leadership perspective, especially when you have the ability that C.J. Stroud does. Everybody in that room knows that C.J. Stroud has the ability to go win a championship, right? Can C.J. Stroud overcome Bobby Slowick? Can C.J. Stroud overcome Laramie Tunsil? Can C.J. Stroud overcome now Nick Caley if Nick Caley's not great? Can C.J. And I'm talking strictly from a leadership standpoint, strictly from a set the standard accountability standpoint. Can C.J. Stroud do those things? Or when Nick Caley doesn't work out, are we still going to be sitting around going, oh, well, Nick Caley didn't communicate this, or Nick Caley couldn't do this, or Nick Caley couldn't do that? like the offensive line coach. Are we going to go through another offensive line coach? I think this will be number 7 since I've been here. Are we going to talk about how bad, how much he sucks? Or is are we going to look to C.J. Stroud to be, hey, man, this guy at some point has to become C.J. Stroud's football team. It's not excusing all the other guys' shortcomings. I understand that. But when situations like that right there pop up, which there have been plenty since C.J. Stroud's been in Houston, and we've heard it. We've heard all of them go to the podium and thank the good Lord and everybody's going to get better and everything's fixable and this and that. And instead of, nah, man, that is completely unacceptable. Now, I'll say this.
They're all fixable.
I think D'Amico got there late last year.
Yeah.
I think D'Amico finally got there last year. He was like, nah, that ain't it. I know he got there at the post-game presser for the last game. I know his ass was there at that point because he let us all have it. But to me, that is the next step.
Yeah, but he let us have it. He let us have it.
To the media, he said some things about accountability and guys, you know, guys playing hard and guys having some self-pride and things like that. Like, that is what I'm talking about. C.J., D'Amico, all of that. We can't tiptoe around and worry about hurting everybody's feelings. I'm not saying you constantly go out there and for no reason throw guys under the bus the way Bill Parcells constantly did. I'm not saying that, right? I'm simply saying call a spade a spade. If that performance sucked and you just beat a pissy poor team, then don't walk out there and thanking everybody for the W.
A couple of things from that. One, he it wasn't just to Zach Taylor. And in that audio, you can't see, but it was to everybody, the offensive line and everybody on the sideline. He walked off. It wasn't just, you know, to the coach. He said it, what are we doing? This is embarrassing. He did it to everybody. So it wasn't just, hey, I'm just telling the coach and I'm like, he obviously let it be known to everybody there. And clearly he was steamed the whole way. The other part to it is, listen, there is a bit of a thought of, all right, people's personalities are people's personalities.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
And you go and you don't really want somebody to come out of their personality. But I will say watching that, it feels like CJ would probably play more of the route of what Zach Taylor was sounded like. If in that situation, like if you drop the Minnesota game is the one that comes to mind, right? They had pressures, they had sacks, he was getting hit a lot, and then they had a multiple false starts and offsides lined up. I know he was frustrated. You could see it in his face. He was frustrated. But it does feel like, and maybe that is just CJ's personality, it does feel like he would be more on the Zach Taylor, hey, way to
Zach
come
said
back.
It. Let's focus on the positive.
Hey, focus on the positive. He would be more, you know, on that than maybe the, hold up, what, like, we got to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, one, it is year three, going into year three, and I've said this when we've had these conversations, he may still be growing into that and feeling that. I don't know if Burrow was that way immediately coming out, but whatever your style is, like at some point, it does have to come out of, guys, hey man, this ain't it. And I think what you're saying is the reason why it's got to be him is because his voice carries a certain level that people are going to actually stop traffic and move on in a way that they may not do it if Lakin Tomlinson or Titus Howard did it. Or even Nico did.
There ain't a player out there that even is remotely close to carrying the power that C.J. Stroud has in his voice. The key is you can't sit around and let the next offensive coordinator be that guy. That's the biggest point here, guys, is you can't, like, let's go 2 years. Let's take Mr. Positive approach here. Let's say Nick Caley blows it out of the water and everybody from New England that made him an assistant coach for 9 years, all that's been talking about how good of a head coach or a play caller he's going to be, let's say they're all right. Let's say he moves on in 2 years and he becomes, now the next guy that comes in here, we're going to have to worry about, will this guy take the bull by the horns? Will this guy hold people accountable? Will this guy rip some ass and make sure that the standard is set and the standard is met? Or is it, hey, moving forward, you got a $60 million quarterback and he's got that. Don't worry. The guy that gets hired to call plays, he just needs to be a good X's and O guy. Everything else, the quarterback guy. Because the reality is right now, nobody carries the power that C.J. Stroud does on the offensive side of the football. You got a hell of a head coach. D'Amico is an absolute beast from a head coach from this leadership perspective. But there is a void because he is a defensive-minded head coach that he needs his quarterback. In my opinion, he needs his quarterback to be the guy that sets the standard, a guy that holds people accountable, a guy that when it ain't right, when all this stuff ain't right, it don't matter if you win or lose. We got to hold some people accountable to what the hell's going on around here.
Yeah,
like that's got to come from CJ. And I disagree with the whole, well, some guys have a personality, some guys, if you're going to pay a guy $60 million a year to be that guy, and you're a defensive-minded head coach, your quarterback better find a way within his own personality to be that dude.
All right, as we continue here, it is a Will Kunkel Tuesday. Will will join us for the next hour as we discuss a lot of things. We'll get his thoughts a little bit if he sees this as an issue potentially for C.J. Stroud in this portion of his leadership. We'll discuss that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Will Kunkel joins us. A little Will Kunkel Tuesday as he's with us for the next hour. And if you know Will, man, he's a insider with the Texans. He's there all the time with the Astros. You hear us with comments. He's the one who gave us the where we were very, very proud of Joe Espada when he was asked, Hey, so when do you expect Jeremy Payne to come back? I'm not gonna answer that. Is what he said.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
And But no, man, Will is out there all throughout the city covering all the sports teams, and we're happy to have him in with us. And Will, I almost want to just pick up, because I'm looking at a lot of what people are saying. And I think we were talking through the break, so you heard the conversation. Clint has been on a big, big thing for this team is C.J. Stroud taking the next step with his leadership. We played a cut of Joe Burrow having a similar situation that C.J. Stroud probably ran into many times. To be honest, Clint, I'm almost shocked that he just didn't lose it. But with how bad it was happening, how much he was getting hit, and how much pressure he was under. And now that we know the miscommunication and how far apart guys were within that office, I am surprised that there wasn't a visual, because I see people texting it, well, how do you know he's not doing that? It's been a bit surprised that we, like C.J. Stroud, that as much as he was getting drilled and getting hit and there were issues, clearly a frustration, there'd have been a camera that picked up C.J. Stroud showing frustration, right? If that would have happened. But I know we've been discussing this.
Let me respond. Well,
go ahead and jump in.
If the stories about Bobby Slowick are true, if C.J. Stroud were doing these things, it would have overflowed in a major way, like grabbed him by his polo, on the sideline. If the stories Bobby, we're hearing about how bad it was offensively, there's about eight guys that should have grabbed Bobby Slowick by the polo and lifted his feet up off the ground.
This is why I say that getting rid of Laremy Tunsil is an addition by subtraction, because
absolutely.
I think that CJ fell in line behind Laremy, because this was really Laramie's team. Laremy was the dude forever here.
You think
in Texas.
This was Laramie's team?
I think it was by default, as in CJ came in younger, a rookie, new. Laremy's been here. He's been the best. He's got that contract. He is the best lineman on that team. He ran that room for better or worse, with leadership or not. And I think CJ was timid. He fell in line with that. He respected Laremy. He liked Laremy. Unfortunately, Laremy is not the guy that's going to rally the troops, and he's not going to read the riot act when it needs to be done.
I just never even got a feel that Laremy wanted to be his team.
I agree. Like, that's the problem. I agree. But like, think about what was here before CJ and D'Amico. Like, whose team was it?
Yeah.
Who gives a damn? Like, who cares? It didn't matter.
I think it was Jerry Hughes's team.
It was Laremy by default. Like, when you're on a bad team, the best player, it's always their team. Just the way it goes, right? It's always the shortstop.
Well, we talk team all we want. We're talking offensively here, and there is no doubt about it. The highest paid player on the team, the guy that the coach is out there stroking in the media, the guy that is one of the best in the league and is revered as one of the best in the league. And then that guy, it is, whether you like it or not, and fair or foul, that guy is, I do think he's an alpha. I just don't think he cares enough to be a guy that's going to do anything and everything it takes to win a championship.
You're talking about CJ.
I'm talking about Laremy Tunsil. Oh, okay. I think Laremy Tunsil is going to do everything that Laremy Tunsil needs to do and can do for him to be one of the best in the league.
To get
paid. I do not think that Laremy Tunsil has any interest whatsoever, ultimately, at going above and beyond to make those guys around him better, or to be pissed off when your offensive line unit can't run the ball, or to be pissed off when your offensive line unit can't pass protect. Like, that should have been enough. Laremy Tunsil should have heard from him weekly last year about how we were going to fix this thing. Like, this is unacceptable. Trent Williams would have been ripping people's heads off in the building, right? So, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, to expect C.J. Stroud in his first 2 years with Laremy Tunsil in the building, with Kenyon Green running lat for false starts, but nobody makes Laremy Tunsil, run lat for false starts when he does it in the game multiple times. Like, CJ can't do, though. That is a D'Amico problem. CJ Stroud couldn't be, it's unfair to expect him to do anything. But now that he's out of the building, to your point, I think your point's very valid. Now that he's out of the building, there's a void. Somebody can take over this offensive unit, and it needs to be seven.
The fact that this is going to come off as bitter as a media member. It's not. I swear to God, I promise you. The fact that Laremy Tunsil refuses to go on camera and talk to the media says everything you need. He let everybody else answer the questions. A leader gets up and takes the questions, takes the shrapnel, and goes down swinging, goes down protecting his dudes. That's not what Laremy did.
Yeah.
Laremy refused to talk to the media. Like, that's it. That's the bottom line. You don't talk to media for us. You do it for your teammates. You do it for your dudes next to you. That's why you do it. When you leave the clubhouse or locker room early, guess what? Everyone else has to answer, where's Laramie? Where's Joe when he left early? Where's so-and-so? Now they got to take that BS.
Text line coming through. These are back-to-back texts. This take by Clint will always be stupid to me, then followed by Clint is spot on here. CJ's got to find his inner mother effer to speak up harder on this offense.
I'll be honest with you. I'll make it personal. I don't know how anybody whatsoever that's ever played team sports and has ever even had a discussion about leadership looks at that point that just in its shortest form, simplest form of it's there's a void offensively from a leadership perspective, and CJ Stroud needs to be that guy. Like, how can that be a stupid take? The only way is it's coming from an individual that just places zero importance on leadership and or has never been a leader or played team sports and had a leader to where that dude was a game changer, a difference maker. I don't know any way to put it.
Or you're a CJ simp and you're going to ride or die with them, and you never think you can do any wrong, and you refuse to acknowledge the fact that it wasn't there. And here for whoever thinks that it's a bad take, promise you. Watch them this season. I think
you expect to see change.
I expect change because I don't think D'Amico's going to allow CJ to be as timid and be on his heels as he was as a leader last year. Like this year is different.
For CJ, everyone knows that.
And it's not a the getting.
I knew you.
Getting,
there's no chance in hell you were done.
Well, no, I mean, it's just I could go on for days about this.
I agree.
It's just like if you're so much of a fan of a team or a person that you are blind to the reality of even just that, the ability to have a conversation about leadership, like that is wild to me. My point, Ron, is it's not a knock. It's not a knock at all. It's like it's an unknown for me. I don't know. It will become a knock if he doesn't take advantage of this void of leadership. It will become something that, in my opinion, is going to hold could hold him back. But right now, it's stating the obvious, in my opinion.
I think CJ is a natural uplifter. I think that is his way of. If you see him, I think naturally he is an uplifting of people. Hey man, you're the best. Like if Nico has a drop, you know, or John Metchie has a drop, no, man, you're good. You're good. Like, I think he is a natural uplifter. I still think you can. I think Tony Dungy found a way to find his inner MF-er, you know, and he handles things differently. He's not Bill Parcells. He handles things differently. I just think CJ probably has to grow and find whatever that inner thing is that allows him to be able to be firm, to be, you know, assertive in, hey, man, we got to get this across. Because I bet you Altuve, who I think's more of a natural uplifter, I'm certain there's probably a line with Jose Altuve, too, where he probably, all right, hey, guys, you know, however he would say it.
Flip, flip, flip on this burger.
God, don't play that.
You knew where I was going.
I hate you.
To your point with CJ, I do think he's a natural uplifter, and I think there's a time and place for that. Like, D'Amico was an uplifter in the media. I know behind closed doors, D'Amico ain't all that positive. He's breaking your ass down. We're going to have serious conversations, and he'll tell you what time it is. I don't know if CJ was like that behind closed doors as much. I would hesitate to say so. But I want to hear you light them up after wins a little bit more than after losses. When it's all bad, everybody knows when things are going badly. Not everybody understands where you need to improve when you're winning. That's when you need the accountability the most, because you can win and not play well. And if you start relying on those bad habits while you're winning, that's your biggest problem. That's when you get in real big trouble.
All right, let's move to the best team in baseball. Is that?
Best organization.
Is that who the Astros are? All right, Will's already separated it. We'll discuss that.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What up next? Razor! Razor! Omaha!
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Little Will Conkle Tuesdays here with us for an hour. This conversation continued in the break from us and many folks here on YouTube, Twitch, and the text line. So it's always good to have you guys in and have you involved in the conversation. So we enjoy this. Well, it makes us number one around here. We enjoy that conversation. You kind of separated there in the tease, and you can jump in on this too, YouTube and Twitch and the text line, 713-572-4610. Is this the best team in baseball? After what they just did to the Dodgers, I know, listen, last night happened, right? That's going to be baseball. The Guardians can't lose them all, and the Astros can't win them all. So that's going to happen, especially when you put some of the guys out. But overall, as crazy as it is, and some of the lineups they've put out there, some of the pitchers they've run out there, is this the best team in baseball?
Man, so I was just talking about this on my YouTube channel. Go find Kicking It with Kunkel or at Will Kunkel 5. I do not think this is the best team in baseball, but I do think that the Astros are the best organization in all of sports, which is allowing them to be a good team right now because they're overcoming the fact that their roster just ain't good.
I can't go there with you.
They've done it for 10 years, two World Series, seven straight ALCSs. They're the only team in the wild card era ALCSs.
I know what you're saying. I just think whatever this stuff that happens with their training staff and their injury stuff,
man, why
that
is
that? I'm sorry. That has got to hold.
And they still overcome that.
They overcome it, but I mean that got to take a mark. That's got to take a mark as the best.
It's not ideal
for them to over the years lose AJ Hinch, lose Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, Carlos Correa, Yuli Gurriel, Dallas Keuchel, like Garrett Cole, and still have success is crazy. And for them to now do this with a roster that, if you're being honest, is not going to last all season long is so impressive and so much fun to watch. It's more fun to watch this roster have success than if they had Alex and Kyle, because you're kind of expecting it, just waiting to get to the playoffs. These guys are exceeding expectations. And as a sports fan, like that's the best.
Well, I think the point that is being made here, the culture of the Astros, the chemistry of the Astros, the chemistry in the clubhouse is greater than their parts. I think it's hard to see that when Tucker's Tucker's raking, and Bregman's there doing his thing, even though he wouldn't be by now because he's a slow starter typically in Houston. And you got Verlander, and you got Cole, and you got Springer, and you got Correa. You got all these different guys that are contributing. And yeah, if you're seven games up in the division, you're like, yes, this is what you should do in a bad division. This team should do it. But it's easy to see the point you're making right now. It's easy to see the point you're making right now to be like, yeah, man, there's something different here. When you reload, Carlos Correa leaves and Jeremy Pena is a guy, and now we see who Jeremy Pena is, you're like, oh, okay, maybe it is talent, right? When you see Verlander leaves and Hunter Brown steps up and starts doing his thing, and then several guys get hurt, and Spencer Arrigetti comes in the fold, and he's dealing, and all these different guys, it's like, oh, well, they just got a great system, they got great players. We're at a point right now where it's like there's no denying, and you see people on that cover Major League Baseball. I saw our guy Robert Flores on his show on MLB Network. I saw them doing a little special on the Astros. It's just you can't deny it at this point. If you got any baseball credibility whatsoever, you just can't deny the fact that that organization has the secret sauce. There's something special about the clubhouse. And anybody that joins it is just in a position mentally, physically, spiritually, everything else to go out there and put their best foot forward. And guy after guy, player after player after player continues to do it.
And I talked to Joe Espada about this yesterday because it fascinates me. It's doing the little things well consistently that make you so good at whatever it is, whether it's in the Texans. Like, that standard on offense has to be held, and it wasn't held last year, and we saw it, and it was obvious. The Yankees have a great roster. They went to the World Series last year. They got embarrassed on the world stage because they couldn't run the bases and they couldn't catch the ball. Like, it showed, and they were embarrassed for it. The Astros consistently do that stuff. They're the best defensive team in all of baseball. They're going first to third at a great rate right now. Like, they're doing the things that you have to do all the time that are really, really boring, really well, just to win. And, of course, they're pitching well. Like, it's
what
it's
about
crazy Altuve's
base running? Tyler wants to know about Altuve.
He's not a good base runner. Like
that's one way to say it.
Stop it. One you more just, thing you're overcoming,
to take
Will.
It with the Hall of Famer.
He's not, yeah. Man, like,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Whatever.
You got to just accept it.
He's not the perfect player. Every team will take
Jordan
him.
Jordan may get hurt a little bit.
Oh, boy, a lot of bit. But that's the point. And that's why Joe Espada is the perfect guy for this job. And he's earned his stripes last year. Because when they started off so badly, and you want to go talk about Mr. Positivity. In a game of 162 games, his positivity last year, I think, rang through the clubhouse because he wasn't flipping tables all the time. He wasn't going nuts. He wasn't trying to light it up because there was no place for that. Like, it's a long season. These guys have done it. They have a culture. They have an organization that lends itself to that. And now he has these guys, and they believe in him. He believes in them. They come in. You step in, and you just do your job.
That was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, as Clint said, you're able to see it much more now. And these guys, like, they have, it seems like a night, they have multiple, who the hell's that guy?
It's your question.
But constantly.
Like, who's that guy? Like, who is that guy? They had, like, four of them in the lineup. They had a who is that guy starting on the mound. Now, I know Colton Bixie has got 10 starts in, but still, he still fits in the, who the hell's that guy? Because you certainly didn't have Colton Gordon. Well, maybe you did, Will. You didn't have Colton Gordon giving you 10 starts.
These guys, there's in Palm Beach, and that's the last time I see half these guys.
Tremel goes for a 3-run bomb. Oppo yesterday, that he's a who the hell's that guy. The Zach Shortfella.
It's
crazy.
It's become, to your point, Will, it's fascinating because it's become when you're not just watching your team play and watching your team have success. It, like, literally when I'm watching Tremel last night, I'm thinking, can he be the next guy? And I'll be damned if he doesn't hit a home run. You're like, whoop, there you go. I mean, it's just, honestly, when I was up in the Hill Country, I didn't catch a lot of the Dodgers series, unfortunately. But when I did, I turned on, like, who in the hell is Short? Zach Short? What are we doing here? Resting guys? Well, I'm checking in. Why are we resting guys, right? And all of a sudden, the guy gets a 2-run single. I'm like, well, hell.
They had that Weems fella in the seventh inning of a tie ball game in Colorado last week. Like, look,
that's what fans love most about sports, when it's your guys, not when you have mercenaries. When you have your guys coming up and they are exceeding expectations. Like, look at the Houston Cougars and what they did this year. No one knew who that roster was. Kelvin Sampson's built a culture in there that makes that team greater than the sum of its parts. Same thing. That's what you need with an offensive line. That an offensive line has to work together, be better than they are individually. That's what we're hoping is the case this year. And that's what's happening with the Astros right now. Like, that roster, you look at it, like, probably not a playoff team. and they're cruising to the playoffs right now.
Yeah, they are cruising. Speaking of,
see you in October.
There you go, Jim. Speaking of the who the hell are that guy? They've got several of them. Gordon last night, who pitched, Hummel, Trammell, Short, Corona is now playing. I think Brandon Walter, he fits in it. Gusto, Shea Whitcomb, he came up. He said, I'll hit a blast.
And when he came up. Continues for Shea.
You talked about Trammell. You said, I think he may be the next one. Any of these guys that are, as I'm saying, fit into the who the hell is that guy category, you get the sense that any of those guys will actually help this group or be a part of what's happening down the stretch when they play games that really, really matter? You see any of these guys?
I think it's on a need basis. I think any of these guys can help the team based on who's available, who's hurt, and who has to step up. Like, I think they all have the capability.
Yeah, I think I had to pick one, because I think when DeZinzo gets back, he's going to take some spots. You know, obviously that allows Dubon to move back in. When Jordan comes back, that's when Chaz comes back. So they got a lot of, I think, priority players over these guys that we're watching right now. But I think Gusto's got a real shot, not as a starter. Please, I hope Lance McCullers doesn't let that happen. But not as a starter, but as that long relief.
Hell yeah.
In that long relief, when anybody gets in trouble in the second or third inning, you got a guy that can come give you three or four innings, maybe even more, in Ryan Gusto. He's got some experience coming out of the pen as well as being a starter. I think he's the one to me, and for whatever reason, he just continued. What is it? Are we at three or four straight outings now where it's been not good, but like really, really good?
I think he had a stinker mixed in there. I know the last one against the Dodgers, he goes six innings and one run.
Yeah, well, that just, like, he's the one to me, Ron, that I think has a real chance.
The crazy thing is also then you got Luis Garcia and Christian Javier, who have filled those roles you're talking about, potentially breathing down their necks, and they kick up. But to the point both of you are making, you don't know who is going to be available and who's going.
But what you're doing is you're training and grooming guys to be that postseason hero. Those are the postseason heroes that, like, if Hunter Brown goes out there and gets shelled in an inning of third, and you got to have a quick hook because the playoffs, in comes Gusto, six innings, shut down ball, catch you in the game and you win. Or saves the pen, you win the next game. Like, those are your heroes in the playoffs, and that's what they're creating right now.
I wouldn't have said Hunter, but I hear you.
The point is, something unexpected, Ron.
That smelled like Lance, though. I've seen Lance do that twice this year. Just blow up in the first.
We got to go. You been to Lance's coffee shop?
No. Yeah, Maven. That's why I sat down with him on Kicking with Kunkel.
Oh, you did it there.
Yeah. It's good. They have a great Carajillo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. Real good. Man.
Made with LeCor 43.
Now that he's out of that luxury category, I think I can go.
It's good.
Love a good Catahoula. I'm
checking it out.
It's good.
All right, as Will continues to ride with us, as we move into 3 o'clock hour, think about this, and we'll discuss on the other side. We were talking about C.J. Stroud and his leadership. Overall, we know who they're chasing. We know who they have to beat and pass. How good does the Texans' offense have to be to reach their goals of a Super Bowl? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Wow, LeBron no-look pass to Eric Dampier. The old, what college did he go to, Ron?
Mississippi State.
That's right, baby. You probably could have watched him play at Twin Peaks.